Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Today on Sunday, September 23rd, 2007, I just completed an interview set for broadcast on September 26th with Jim Wattenberger, a member of the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors who represents the city of Ukiah on the Board of Supervisors. We chatted for a few minutes off the air and decided to record another interview to further ask questions about the growth in the Ukiah Valley and to discuss Jim's position on the legalization and use of marijuana and perhaps some of his personal plans and desires that he hasn't mentioned yet. Jim Wattenberger, welcome again to Radio Curious.
Thank you, Barry. Glad to be here.
Jim, let's talk about the kinds of issues that you would like to review at the town meeting, the town hall meeting that you're suggesting be held October 18 or 19.
I've got four or five different ideas there. One naturally would be an exchange with the public in regards to the UVAP and the future of the valley. Another one would be proposed circulation routes, new roads within the northern end of the valley. Department of Transportation has laid out some maps of possible new streets for infrastructure to alleviate some of the traffic circulation problems that we have now, including maybe a new bridge across to North Redemeyer Road. Another area would be marijuana and my position on that, the need that it be legalized, do away with the greed, corruption, and the lawlessness that our county is under right now.
Let's talk about marijuana for a moment while we're there.
Sure.
Supervisor John Pinches, who represents the northeast section of Mendocino County, was a guest on Radio Curious about 6 weeks ago. And his proposal, simply put, is to allow any person who owns land or any ownership of land to be able to grow up to 25 plants of marijuana and obtain for $25 each a zip tie ring from the public health department that would certify the plants as being approved by the county. And his position goes on to say that for any reason, anyone can apply for that. They don't need to have, one, be a medical marijuana card holder, and two, if somebody wants to apply to grow more than 25 plants, they have to have major use permit approved by the county. What's your position on Supervisor Pinch's policy, proposed policy?
The proposed policy, I haven't heard it in regards to just any marijuana. I've heard him speak to medical marijuana and the need for 25 plants. So I can't comment on his idea of just an open 25 plant limit for anybody for any reason. But it goes back to where I agree with him that the war against marijuana, I can only speak to in Mendocino County, has been lost. And we need to take a new, fresh approach, look at that. And maybe by legalizing it outright, we could regulate it. We could assess some fees or taxes to it, build some prevention programs around it, those type of things, because again, what we're doing hasn't worked and we need to take a fresh approach on it.
What do you see as Mendocino County being able to do to legalize marijuana outright, even though it's not within the jurisdiction of the county to do so?
Well, we've taken the first step, and under Johnny's push, and certainly by my supporting it and seconding the resolution.
That's Johnny Pinches.
Johnny Pinches. We passed a resolution in Mendocino County, I believe about 2 months ago, that we sent to 260 lawmakers at the state and federal level, giving some statistics and stating we believe it now needs to be legalized to take a better handle at controlling the situation. To date, we have not heard back from a single lawmaker that received that letter. It's our understanding that Governor Schwarzenegger read it, had somewhat of a smirk on his face and put it down on his desk. I've also heard that the president read it, said something like, oh, it's just Mendocino County, and wadded it up and threw it in the trash can. Either one of those responses is not sufficient to this supervisor.
Some people have told me that they fear a response, particularly from the Bush administration, who is adamantly opposed to marijuana use, even for medicine, that they may force a crackdown on Mendocino County. What's your thought about that possibility?
Well, I think that's a far away chance that that would happen. Recently, it was stated in the paper that upon confiscations, Mendocino County has dropped to either fifth or sixth highest confiscation rate in the state. Several other counties are now well ahead of us. Now, how does that relate to sheer numbers of plants in our county is what I'm more concerned about. I think we've dropped in confiscations just due to the sheer magnitude and the number of plants that are out there and our inability with our present budget to have enough personnel to go out there and keep up the eradication rate. That in itself is showing a failure of what we're doing. We've done it that way for so long, we believe it's the right way to do it.
Done what for so long that you believe is the right way to do it?
Trying to make a major impact to turn this around with so few enforcement officers. The growing rate is far outstripping the eradication rate, and that in itself is a public statement by the citizens of Mendocino County that they believe they have the right to grow marijuana, and the legal enforcement activities are falling woefully behind. So what are we actually doing, and why are we doing it? I believe that, like I've stated several times, that we need to take a fresh approach, legalize it, regulate it, install some prevention programs, keep the kids away from it, and assess fees or taxes to fund those programs.
What is your personal experience with the use and or growing of marijuana?
Well, personally, I've smoked marijuana way back in high school. I've never grown it. I don't associate anybody that grows it. Fairly limited.
Do you have any experience or know the extent to which people take it in other ways, such as eating?
You know, I paid a visit to one or two of the cooperative dispensaries 2 years ago, I believe, here in the Valley. And I became well educated on the sheer numbers of different types of marijuana being sold for marijuana patients. We discussed, and I was educated on the use of marijuana oil for on skin, on eating situations, mixing it in with your foods.
For what purpose, for example, mixing it within foods?
A different way for medical marijuana patients to ingest it instead of smoking it. I've spoke to lawmakers in Canada where they actually chuckled when they found out I was from Mendocino County, and they said, oh, you're from California. You still allow medical marijuana patients to smoke that down there. Don't you know how bad smoking marijuana is? It's equal, one joint is equal to 20 cigarettes, and so we don't allow people to smoke it under the medical use up here anymore. We actually have a oral spray that we prescribe to folks instead of smoking it and causing the secondary complications. We prescribe this oral spray to where it's immediately drawn into the system through the workings of the mouth, et cetera, et cetera.
Representation of one marijuana cigarette equaling 20 tobacco cigarettes is interesting in light of the May 26th, 2006 report in the Washington Post stating that study finds no cancer marijuana connection, that if we divide people into groups, people who don't smoke, people who smoke only marijuana, people who smoke marijuana mixed with tobacco, and people who only smoke tobacco,
mm-hmm.
groups one, the non-smoker, is equal to group two, the marijuana smoker only, and group three, the people who smoke marijuana and tobacco. Group four, the people who smoke only tobacco, have a much higher rate of lung cancer, according to the study, which is perhaps squelched here in the United States.
Well, it must be squelched to the point where I'm unaware of that study, Barry. I was just speaking to elected officials in Canada in July, and those were the statements they made to me. There was a study released in July through Britain, France, and Canada that also stated a higher propensity of the development of schizophrenia in adolescents smoking marijuana. That certainly hasn't been discussed in the United States. I believe many other countries in the world are much more advanced in the studies of the effects of marijuana, certainly, than the United States is. It's almost like, keep your head stuck down in the sand and the problem will go away. I'm certainly not advocating that approach.
In this edition of Radio Curious, we're talking with Jim Wattenberger, a member of the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors who represents the city of Ukiah in the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors chambers that meets almost every Tuesday at 501 Logap Road in Ukiah to discuss issues of import to the county. Some of the issues that Jim and I are talking about are the Ukiah Valley Area Plan and marijuana. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Jim, one of the things that marijuana has brought to our county, as well as an enormous amount of unreported income, is violence. You've told me that based on whatever the interpretation is of your position on marijuana, and whatever your position is on the Ukiah Valley Area Plan, you and your family have been threatened with violence.
That's correct.
What happened?
Well, it's kind of difficult to say, but on six different occasions, either through the use of calling my home or through attaching notes to my back door, I've now incurred six death threats. And two of those targeted my wife. The first one was very specific. The person had stalked my wife from the moment she leaves the house to arrival at her work location, to what time she took her break, her lunch break, what time she got in her vehicle to return home, and subsequently what time I arrived home, showing me that they had followed her throughout the day. That's very, very disturbing, no matter what the issue is for that person, to have gone to that length to show me they know intimate moments in my day-to-day life. That to me is totally disgusting and causes me great concern over this community that I grew up in for that type of situation to surface. Something has changed in this community to bring about even the thought of violence towards normal day-to-day governmental businesses is just disgusting, I guess is the best way to put it.
Do you have any sense of the issues that these people had with you? They didn't like something you did or didn't do.
Correct.
Do you know what those somethings are?
Well, four of the six were very well-worded statements in regards to my belief of legalizing marijuana, to the point where such quotes as, if you go ahead and legalize that, it's going to drop the price out of the market. If you legalize it, it'll drive corporations into the growing aspect, and we hate big corporations. Things like that, totally contrary to my publicly made statements of legalizing marijuana and my belief wholeheartedly in the medical marijuana situation. Especially, I believe, a person that is terminally ill needs to be able to access any medicine that makes them more comfortable in their last days. So these are totally strange comments in that regards. But it goes along with a totally strange person that would make those threats. So I guess in one way, you know, you can tie the two together and call it, it does make sense. But it's very disturbing. The other two death threats were in regards to my decision to push forward on the examination of an EIR for the Ukiah Valley Area Plan, more specifically in regards to the Masonite possible rezoning and the Lover's Lane rezoning. That, too, causes me great concern. I've never really heard of anyone being hurt or killed over the development of a shopping center, no matter how big or how small. It's very upsetting and damn frustrating to receive those type of comments. And one of those targeted my wife also. And so, you know, I guess we're an evolving community, and maybe those things take place in other communities, but I've certainly not incurred such disgusting displays in this community before, and so it's greatly disturbing to me.
What are you doing to protect yourself?
Well, I've involved both the sheriff's office and the UPD, and I'm paying attention. Certainly have alerted my wife to the situation. Situational awareness is everything. So she and I are just basically paying attention to everything we do and where we're at. And I will defend my family at all costs.
Do you have a concealed weapon permit?
No, I do not. I've had one in the past. I'm securing one in the future, but presently I do not.
So until you have it, you don't carry a concealed weapon?
Honestly, I'll tell you, at times I am carrying a concealed weapon.
Well, Jim Wattenberger, we appreciate your candor on these issues. And since they come out based on two of the foremost issues that are going on in the county, let's revisit the development of the Ukiah area. And in general terms, on big issues like development, like retaining the small town tempo and rhythm, lifestyle that we have here in Ukiah, with no major shopping centers like we see in Santa Rosa, the potential of one looming, and a somewhat thriving business community on School Street. To what extent do you think these kinds of issues should be determined by the community, as opposed to by people who own the private property and private property owners' rights?
Well, that's an interesting juncture in land use decisions. You know, as decision makers, we have to take into account the impacts that a project of any type will have on a community. We also have to take in the private property owner's ability to use his property to whatever possibilities exist for zoning or whatever. So I believe that the public has a great voice in any situation, and it needs to be balanced on, you know, the pros and cons. Presently, I've been personally contacted to the negative on UVAP, I believe about 170 different contacts. On the other side, I've received correspondence from about 400 supporters of the project.
Let me ask about that correspondence. Where is it?
The correspondence is out at the city, out at the county admin center.
It was sent to you in your capacity as supervisor.
That's correct.
As opposed to your house. But still, that would be in your capacity as supervisor.
That's correct. Okay. That's correct. The vast majority of supporting documentation was sent to the county office of my office.
I know that a member of the Ukiah community has written to the Board of Supervisors under the California equivalent of the Freedom of Information Act, asking to see that correspondence that was sent to you and the other supervisors. Mm-hmm. Frank Zotter, the deputy county counsel, has written to this person saying, no, we're not going to show it to you. What's your position on that? Do you think that people should be able to see what was written?
Well, the correspondence that is submitted for the public record is part of the public record.
That's true, but I'm asking about the correspondence that was sent to you in your capacity as a supervisor to your office in the supervisor's building.
Well, the information that arrives at my office is public information.
Whether or not it's part of the record.
That's correct.
Okay, it would be a letter from somebody saying, "Dear Supervisor Wattenberger, I support or I oppose the Masonite project for the following reasons." That's public record.
That's correct. Okay. That's my personal belief. Legal belief, I'm not an attorney. You are. I don't know what the legal standing is on that. The correspondence that I've received has been phone, email, written letters. They break down basically those 190 or so contacts that I've had, I believe, are about 51% in favor of the project. The rezoning, that's the project. I'm not looking at a shopping center yet. I haven't seen one on paper. So the rezoning is what I'm calling the project. 51% are in favor of the rezoning. About 49% are against.
Where are they from, by and large, the writers?
The vast majority certainly are within the valley, and I'm calling the valley all the way to McNabb Ranch to Red River Valley. I have received correspondence from Lakeport, Philo, I believe actually one from Fort Bragg.
What percentage would be from the city of Ukiah versus outside of the city of Ukiah?
You know, I could only say probably the vast majority. I couldn't tell you percentage-wise. I didn't really keep track of that.
The vast majority outside the city or inside the city?
Inside the city.
Okay. Well, Jim, in terms of building out the Ukiah Valley in various areas, should it be completely built out or something less, as much as possible? Where would you draw the lines?
Well, I'd like to see the city and the county develop an urban growth boundary where it would grow out to a certain line and call it good at that point. We're not near an agreement on that type of situation, although the city is looking at a new sphere of influence.
Where do you think that urban growth boundary line should be under the present structure that we have and that we see now here in Ukiah?
Well, certainly I would not like to see any growth east along the eastern boundaries of the city limits. I believe the Oak Manor subdivision was a mistake. It should have never happened. The boundary would have been nice and clean going down Highway 101, the freeway there. To the west could have been the city. To the east could have been the county. They crossed that line in the very early 70s, I believe, and I think that was a mistake. To the north, I still think it would make sense, the curvature of the freeway, maybe going up to North State Street, proceeding up North State Street to take in the Lover's Lane Vineyard there, going out Ore Springs Road to the foothills, coming
Masonite,
back.
Masonite, however, is on the east side of the freeway.
That's correct. I'm just looking at clear geographical ways to define a boundary. You know, someone else could say, well, let's take it up the river and call that the boundary. I'm just looking at a map trying to figure out the most common sense way to explain to a common citizen where a city limit or a county line should be.
How should these limits be proposed and where by whom?
Well, number one, if it's defining an ultimate urban boundary for the city limits, I think city council needs to initiate that. And I don't quite know if they've had any open discussions along those lines. I have spoken to city staff and several council members working through the revenue sharing, tax sharing plan, which is a needed component for annexations, and defined.
Are you a member of that group?
Yes. Okay. I'm one of two supervisors, the other one being Supervisor Delbar. And we've been working on this for, I'd say over 2 years now.
What would you think, Jim Wattenberger, supervisor who represents the city of Ukiah, and living in the city and being a former city council member, of you having a conversation with the city council at an open session with those of us who are interested observing about all of the issues that you and I have talked about in this program and in our last program and any other topic that might be of concern. Would you accept an invitation along those lines?
Oh, sure. You know, I've appeared before the city council several different times on several different matters, one being the revenue taxation sharing agreement. I'm always open to discussing things. We've had very in-depth discussions along the urban boundary line with the city's committee on the tax sharing agreement. So some of that ground has already been broached, but I'd have no problem. You know, I don't have problem meeting with anybody.
Are there any of these issues or other issues that we haven't talked about that keep you awake at night?
Actually, issue-wise, I sleep really well at night. You know, the one item we've discussed on this show was the threats. That certainly keeps me awake at night. I actually got up about 2 weeks ago with sounds I believed were a prowler in my backyard. So that certainly kept me awake at night. Anything to do with my family, I think, would keep anybody awake at night.
Well, Jim Wattenberger, thanks once again for being with us on Radio Curious. And before we close, can you tell us about another book?
I knew you were going to ask that question.
The last one being Undaunted Courage.
That one took me so long to read, Barry. I couldn't remember the previous books of that, although I did read a series of historical fictionalized novels by a late author, Terry C. Johnston, in regards to, the Great Western Cavalry Native American Wars throughout the West. And I visited a great many of those sites since then, and he's a good author. He takes actual history and fictionalizes it with his own characters, and so it makes for great reading.
Well, Jim Wattenberger, thanks for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thank you, Barry.
Jim Wattenberger is a member of the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors. His district is comprised of the city of Ukiah. The books that he recommends are those of Terry C. Johnston, who wrote a large series of fictional accounts of the development of the American West and the violent conflicts that ensued. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. At Radio Curious, we appreciate hearing from you. Our email is curious@radiocurious.org. The snail mail is 700 West Smith Street in Ukiah, UKIAH, California, 95482. The phone is 707-621-5075. Ignacio Ayala is the assistant producer. I'm host and producer, Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.